Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnterHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnterFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnterHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnterHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enterfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com, enterfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnterHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Hawk coming to you live. It's Friday night, 4/5/2019. Now, it's getting really interesting to see what's going on in various and diverse places. You see, if you look at certain things which are just, oh, they're innocuous, or it's just, well, it's the way it is, I don't quite understand it. Article called Petrodollar Panic. The Saudis threatened to dump U.S. dollar oil trades over OPEC antitrust bill. Now, Reuters is citing three unidentified people familiar with Saudi Arabian energy partners that their policy that Saudi Arabia is threatening to drop the dollar as its main currency and selling its oil if the U.S. passes a bill that exposes OPEC members to U.S. antitrust suits. While the death of the petrodollar has long been predicted, as the petro-yuan gathers momentum, that's the Chinese, this is the most direct threat to the U.S. dollar's exorbitant privilege. The Saudis know they have the dollar as the nuclear option, one of the sources familiar with the matter said. The Saudis say, let the Americans pass no PEC, and it would be the U.S. economy that would fall apart. Now, at the same time, Secretary of Energy Perry has announced that we've green-lighted nuclear developments for Saudi Arabia. Probably ostensibly nuclear power plant kind of things and setting stuff up and all of that. And in terms of that aspect, you see, that's quite interesting in and of itself. Now, years ago, Colonel Bo Greitz, who I met on a number of occasions, took some of his training classes, spike training, different ones. And talking with him, he said that when he was in Saudi Arabia one time, and I think it was when he was with ISA, Intelligence Services Administration is what I believe that was, which did not exist either at the time because that was the new corporate kind of structure or whatever for all the Briar Patch scenarios, all the things where people come out of the dark of the night and slit throats or go to somewhere that they're not supposed to go or open up doorways and get in and get stuff and get out and all of that. But be that as may, Bo told me one time, he said, you know, he said, there's nuclear weapons and there's underground bases in the desert in Saudi Arabia, and we got all kind of stuff stored there. But it's a deal where, like, it has to be with us there to monitor it, sort of like the Russians do in Iran and various places. That, if you recall, in 2004, I started telling you that Iran basically had about 40 to 42 nuclear devices that they got on the black market, and that was the old collapse of the Soviet Union black market of nuclear material that was coming out of everywhere, out of Russia, out of Ukraine, out of the other different Soviet republics, or, you know, political groups that were part of the Soviet Union. And so they have a nuclear weapon. Now, they had a marvelous opportunity with President Trump going over there and trying to make it into an Arab alliance. When he first started out, he started there and did a very good job. But this Khashoggi guy was killed, you see, and the crown prince maybe goofed up or what have you. On the other hand, I told you before that Adnan Khashoggi, who was at one time, quote unquote, the richest man in the world, okay? And back then, I think he had about 50 or 60 billion back then. But this Khashoggi that got killed in Turkey, which is going to tie me right back into where I'm going to, he is the son, or was the son, of Adnan Khashoggi. Now, Adnan Khashoggi eventually, you know, got in trouble, Iran-Contra and all of that, because he was an arms dealer and what have you, but and was involved in Iran-Contra with Ronald Reagan and Black Rose Poppy Bush and Ollie North and the whole deal. And the Clintons. So what I'm trying to say is this. The Khashoggi thing was sort of like arranged perhaps to cause the break with America. And here is the deal, is that the Saudis' oil fields are drying up. They had already, this new prince had already talked about starting out and becoming more of a financial country, liberalizing, excuse me, certain things, excuse me. And incidentally, the cough button and the great microphone I have is just put your hand over your mouth, so just so you understand. But I'm not fancy, and we don't have a big studio and all that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Russia and Iran have large amounts of oil. And between them, on the Caspian, is Baku oil fields, which used to be kind of controlled by the Russians and by the Soviets. So a separate nation, but during the World War II, those oil fields were what Hitler was driving at. And if he'd have gone on and drove and taken those, he would have still probably be in that area. But instead, they suckered him into Stalingrad. Well, be that as it may. The Iranian and Russian oil thing, if they could get control of what's left in Saudi Arabia, and they have control of Syria, And it's alleged with the new civil war in Libya that the Russians may be supplying that. And then you've got Iran in Yemen supplying the rebels in Yemen against the Saudis, right? Which now have U.S. Congress against them to break the relationship. And then what does that create? That creates the Saudis being forced to go to a new way, which may be the petrol yuan. And then what do you have? And if you have now the Russians in Venezuela with the Red Chinese, then you have one of the largest oil reserves on the planet in Venezuela. You have in Canada, which a large portion of Canadian oil companies are owned by the Chinese, and a large number of the banks in Canada are owned. You now have England having to go the forced Brexit route, apparently, which then removes them from Europe, in a sense, or the partnership in Europe. And that basically leaves them with the United States as the only friend. But if their Commonwealth countries, like New Zealand and like Australia, you know, New Zealand is just now made a great overtures to China, and they're doing it. And Australia is making a new, brand new overture to China, and they're having all kind of stuff come in and development. They're talking all the time and this and that and the other. Meanwhile, they're butting up with them while they are two of the Five Eyes, with Canada, three of the Five Eyes. Britain is the fourth of the Five Eyes, and the U.S. is the NSA, is the, and the GCHQ in London are the two chief components of the Five Eyes. In other words, the intelligence world, the signal intelligence. And then at the same time, if New Zealand and Australia are going buddy-buddy with Red China, then somebody at a certain point in time is going to give up the access to the Red Chinese to the Five Eyes information. Wouldn't surprise me if it already hasn't happened. Now, you start to see where I'm starting to go here a little bit. So this would then isolate and even take away to a great degree. And it goes back to what Steve Quayle and I talked about in 2004 when he had me on the guest radio, and he said, "Hawk, you seem to have an idea of what's going to go on in the future around the world in these different wars and stuff. And you talk about the Gog Magog War. Take me around the world and tell me about it." Well, we talked about every single conflict that now is pretty much already starting to happen, including India and Pakistan, and with Pakistan you get China. So now we go to chapter 38, Ezekiel. "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." I think those could be tanks. The sword is the tank gun, you see, and then the bucklers and shields are the tanks. "Persia," that's Iran, "Ethiopia," which a number of years ago turned basically communist, "and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all of his bands," that allegedly per Brother Quayle years ago is part of Germany, part of France. There's your Europe, right? And those two are forming a new European sort of military joint force. And they are also heavily dependent on Russian oil and natural gas, primarily the natural gas to heat their homes, to run their industrial plants, etc. And Togarma of the North Quarters and all his bands, and there are many people with thee. And there you got Turkey, all right? And then Turkey was buying F-35 jets from the U.S., and now the U.S. has told them we won't send you any if you're going to buy the S-400 missile defense system, which allegedly, and I tend to sort of agree, it's pretty darn good, that S-400 system, the S-300, the 400, the Russians have the S-500 if they're around there. Homeland, Mother Russia. But that missile defense system is incredible. But you see, what is it that Erdogan and the Turks sit on? And Turkey went from being a secular nation with, you know, after World War II there, it's still a Muslim nation, but as a government, a secular government, now it is a Islamic government. And they're going to go, apparently, with Russia. And on the 70th anniversary of NATO, that sort of breaks up that. Well, what's critical to Turkey is the Bosphorus. The Bosphorus. It's where the waterway that joins Asia and Europe is together. And all kind of roads leave from the European way and then go west, you know. But at the same time, you're also looking and seeing, just as the African cardinal at the Vatican is saying, Sarah, or whatever his name is, I believe, is rightfully saying that the West is going to disappear under this Muslim invasion. It's a Muslim invasion of migrants and of refugees, forever to change the cultural and political and legal and economic aspects of all of Europe. And that's already taking place. And then the Europeans are no longer replacing themselves. In other words, the Russians aren't replacing themselves. The Swedes, the Danes, the Germans, the French, you know, the Spanish are not having enough children to replace themselves in terms of population. Well, the United States, it's getting kind of where it's kind of different too. So the two main races that are being used, or three groups, and I shouldn't say races, are the Muslims from the Middle East, and particularly those countries that are the poorest, and the Muslims from Africa, like the Somalis. And also the Hispanics, who are tremendous, hardworking people. But they're using them to come in with the lure of American jobs or European jobs over there, in terms of the Muslim invasion. And all of that's being orchestrated to basically create as much chaos, and then you get Ordo Ab Kaio. But you can see how, if you're just looking at the dropping of the dollar, the petrodollar, in other words, you have to use dollars to buy a barrel of oil. And if that's no longer true, and you go to the yuan, and the Red Chinese take the yuan and back it partially by gold, which we talked about 3 or 4 years ago, and it almost happened, but Trump backed them all out of that. When he got elected, that's basically stopped. So I'm just trying to say to you is that we're going to find that this thing is going to roll on with the Gog-Magog War. and they're going to come against Israel. Now, the Syrians basically just said today or yesterday, the foreign minister, Deputy Foreign Minister Walid al-Mualam, stated during a press conference with his Venezuelan counterpart, Jorge Arreaza, on Thursday, that the occupied Golan Heights is Syrian. Well, you lost it in the war, boys, to the Israelis. And stressing that Syria will, his country will retake it by any means necessary. Well, any means necessary might mean that the Syrians would use a Russian nuke to do that, you see. And so here you have the Gog-Magog war and the hook in the jaw. And he says, President Donald Trump's decision to recognize Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights has only isolated them in the region, adding our right in the occupied Syrian Golan is firm and can't be disclaimed by time lapse, and every inch of the occupied Syrian territories will be liberated. Well, by that basic thing, then what they're saying is that that's the standard. Then when Saladin took and came out of Damascus and took all of what is now Israel and took the Palestine and the Lebanon, you see, back from the Christian forces, then to them that means that all still belongs to them too. But when they lose, they still want it back. But you see, when they win, then it's all theirs, you see. And Erdogan is involved in that, too. It's all tied in together because Erdogan wants to kill all the Kurds, which the United States backed against the ISIS in that area. Now, thus saith the Lord God, we're in Ezekiel 38 still, verse 10, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come and die thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. Is that the United States? And I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Well, Pelosi has a wall around her property up in the, Northern California, up in the wine country. And then I think it was somebody that was Alex Jones' listeners took a ladder up there and hired some illegal aliens to climb the wall and paid them to climb the wall into Pelosi's thing, compound, allegedly. And then the police were called to come get these illegal aliens out because they came over Pelosi's wall. Well, I think that what they should do is take and give a bus ticket one way to all of the illegal aliens, the immigrants that they're letting go, who are there to come back 6 years from now for their hearing. And do you understand it? It was 4 years, now it's 6 years, I believe, because so many are coming. 6 years before you get that hearing to see if you have asylum. Meanwhile, 6 years from now, you know, they've got all kind of U.S. citizens by then. They'll have a couple more kids and go that route. And then I was at a Waffle House. I was eating a breakfast the other day. And the young man who was the manager cook guy, he had listened to me and another man talk about certain political things. And then he came in and said and took after me because I had talked about how we do need to build the wall so we can keep Americans working, and he got into me pretty hard. I said, well, you know, I appreciate what you got to say, but here's the very same deal that you're talking about. You want them to be able to work? I said, well, I don't know what you make here as the manager or cook of Waffle House, but let's say it's, let's say it's $15 an hour and you're the manager. I don't know. But I said, whatever it is you do make, I said, I think we ought to just fire you and take three of the El Salvadorans or Hondurans and pay them about $5 an hour each. And we'll have three cooks, and then they can all run the whole joint, and we can just get rid of you, and then they won't even need health care. And he said, oh, is that what you? I said, yeah. You're starting to understand it now, aren't you? I said, thanks for talking to you. See you later, you know? But they're being pushed in high rates of speed. And then we also had the Syrians come. We had all the Somalis come. And half the Somalis were ID'd people, too. Half the ones that came probably are the ones that drug our Night Stalkers, Delta Force, around naked in the streets, in their underwear, drug the body around. And of course, you couldn't take tanks in there because Clinton's goofball Secretary of Defense wouldn't let the tanks go in. Should have took tanks in there and blew the crap out of every one of the technicals. Now, did you see all the new technicals, the Toyotas in Libya? Do you remember who bought those Toyota trucks, allegedly, for the Libyan rebel army that took out Gaddafi? Do you remember that the U.S. State Department, through Hillary and the government and Obama, sent them, when they created the ISIS, all right, they sent them thousands of those Toyota trucks. So all of those people are, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of the unwalled villages. I want to go to them and arrest and dwell safely, and all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. They want to take the cattle and wheat belt and the corn belt, and they want to take it from Texas all the way up and through the central Canadian provinces, where the majority of the wheat is grown, west of Mississippi. But you'd also still have Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, you know, Kansas, and all of that. You'd have the Dakotas and Minnesota and all the different items of all the people that have the wheat. Montana, ton of wheat. You know, you see what I'm trying to say. North Texas, Oklahoma, all of it, and then all the cattle up and down that range. A lot of cattle in Kansas, a lot of cattle in Oklahoma, a lot of cattle in Texas for sure. A lot of cattle all up and down the line. But we lost 1 million calves in the flooding. To take a spoil and to take a prey, you see. And that's what they're doing in the middle of the land. That's going to be what they're going to do now. There's all kind of stuff ongoing that we talked about and different items. And then, incidentally, on April 17th and 18th, at the Mary M. Gates Learning Center in Alexandria, Virginia, DOD Hypersonic Capabilities Symposium, ensuring dominant strike and defensive systems, okay? And this is going to be a huge Defensive Strategies Institute presents it, Hypersonic Symposium. We've got another one upcoming, you know, that's on lasers. We've got another one upcoming on nuclear weapons. You got a microwave and laser tests. And we'll be back in a moment.
Hello there, and welcome to the bottom of the hour. This is Darren Craddock for Inner Health Botanicals, sole sponsor of the Survive to Thrive radio network, bringing you The Hawk on Thursdays and Fridays, Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones on Tuesdays, and myself with Total Health Freedom on Mondays and Wednesdays. We are all here to keep you informed and tell you more about how to stay healthy and aware. We talk on staying well naturally, being prepared, growing your own, and more. With the right tools, foods, and information, we give you the kind of truth that will set you free. Please support our network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk on Survive to Thrive. That's the number 2, thrive.net. And I will tell you this, is that all of the things that Inner Health Botanicals can provide to you, the herbal tinctures, the meal replacement powders with the vegetable proteins, the high-quality 40-day, 40-night pails, and the inner food that will help you stretch your long-term storage food if you don't use the inner, you know, or if you do use the 40-day, 40-night pail. You can get a shake or two a day and get the basic nutrients and then have one big meal or a couple half meals of rations to take you down the road further. Not that you shouldn't be getting extra long-term storage food or that you shouldn't be getting extra canned goods or like Cirilla, Lady J, Diane up the old Stagecoach stop, canning your own, and Mina down in Florida. So I'm telling you, take advantage of it while you can. Go to enerfood.com, innerfood.com. You put in the little comment box, you say, Hawk sent me. Give me all the discounts I'm entitled to. Quantity and specials, all of the different items. Now, I would say also that these herbal tinctures are going to be something that you might need to avail yourself. And there is information up of what traditionally has been used in the literature for the use of herbal tinctures that are anecdotally passed down generation to generation. To give you some idea what this tincture was used for in the past by doctors at the turn of the century and this kind of thing, you see, or by Native Americans or by whatever the research was, or the anecdotal historical evidence. That information could save your life at some time in the future. And if you had a whole bunch of those saved up, you just might find that you're going to be much more responsible for your own health in the future. Don't believe you're going to see the great Republican health care either. And I'm going to tell you, you know, because this whole thing is starting to go wild weasel and starting to break down. And I wish that it was not that way, but it is. And to Wit on this, and I always laugh because I got a buddy named Wit, too. But anyway, there's a mystery E. coli that's broken out in a bunch of states. Let me see here if I can get this up here. Eight people are involved in a mysterious outbreak, have been hospitalized, no deaths have been reported. People started becoming ill on March 2nd, and patients ranges in age from 1 to 74. Additional illnesses tied to this outbreak may still be reported, according to the CDC. States reporting sick patients are Georgia, Kentucky. Georgia's got 8 patients, Kentucky 36, Ohio 5. Tennessee has 21 patients. Virginia has 2. Government science have not identified a food item, grocery store, or restaurant chain as a source. It's a mystery infection. Well, you remember when old Hawk told you about his old friend, the river pirate, down there in Berea, Kentucky, looking and seeing the red Chinese in plain clothes, driving around the white van at the Hotel Motel Holiday Inn or whatever it was there in Berea. Nice town, by the way, if you're living down in Kentucky. The red Chinese there, and then, as you recall, I can even tell you that the officer had some kind of Malibu t-shirt on, or Surfer Joe's shop t-shirt. Maybe it was Bird, 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 Bird is the Word, you know, or something, a t-shirt. He was a surfboard shaper in Southern California. And the object of the song, the Bird, Bird, Bird song. But anyway, if you recall, while the old river pirate was on vacation with his wife, he was eyeballing the red Chinese. And then all of a sudden, the red Chinese guy didn't like that, one of them. And as they went up to their room, that guy was already up there, gone up the back stairs. And then it was like eyeballs lock, cobra eye lock, and mano a mano. And even though there's quite an age difference, it's a good thing that the red Chinese didn't try to take on the old river pirate, because the old river pirate might bring some stronger kung fu than what he even had. And teach him a few tricks and have him in a Shanghai sling and throw him over the side of the railing, you know, down to the lower level, you know, of the motel. But be that as it may, that Chinese guy backed off and took off the other way where he came. But the next day, something may have been put on a doorknob of the car or something. Because when they returned home, the river pirate and his wife, they were deathly ill from some mysterious upper respiratory infection for the next 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I mean, had to go to the hospital and get checked out and stuff, you know. So that area right there was exactly where that red Chinese, quote-unquote, team was working. And now you got in various places, I believe in different areas, in Maryland or somewhere, where they're offering cash money, somebody is, for your DNA. And they operate out of a white plain van, and they give you cash. They have you swab your cheeks with the DNA, and you give it to them. Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Remember the smoky trucks that Brother Quayle talked about years ago? The smoky trucks were mobile cremation facilities on the tail end of what would be in the big double 18-wheelers or a large, longer 18-wheeler trailer would be small test labs and confinement quarters, as in bars, for back then, what they were doing was picking up, and incidentally, I've confirmed this aspect of it with other, let's say, people in the know on the intelligence side of things, the military intelligence side of things, and the operational, the not the analytical, but the operational, where they were picking up homeless people and junkies and drunks and different things. And they were doing experiments on them. And the, primarily those people, from what I was told back then, were red Chinese. And may have been allegedly. Did you hear me say allegedly, a few times? May have been tied in with the Lee family, which also has, allegedly, in Calgary, Alberta, a microbiological clinic, and also hosted back a few years ago this worldwide microbiological symposium. I believe it was in Shanghai or Beijing. Well, they are a trillionaire family, so I understand all of that. But what they were doing and where Steve Quayle got involved was that the MMV, the Mighty Men of Valor, saw one of these rigs rolling towards the Canadian border. I think it was in the Dakotas, or maybe Montana, or maybe North Dakota, and they were rolling toward the Canadian border, and they stopped it because they had heard that there had people on it, and there were live people still in that truck, and evidence that some had been killed, and they had on one of them old backcountry roads, out of the big Great Plains, the High Plains, they had a little gun battle with the Red Chinese, and they put the stop to it and released those people. Now, I traced some of that stuff, and I found out that those smoky trucks were coming out of Lethbridge and up in that area, which is also where, not too far from there, is a military base, Canadian military base, and also where at a pond in a lake or a little, you know, estuary, a whole lot of geese got a new kind of bird flu a few years ago. But that's just down the road from the old, allegedly the Red Chinese owned microbiological deal there in Calgary, which then they also perhaps own a large portion of the Alberta tar sands and some of the Canadian oil companies. You're starting to see the entanglement here. All right. Now, that's quite interesting. And I'm going to talk to you in a minute about hypersonics and fighting back and all of that. You want to keep old Hawk on the air. You want to keep me striking blows against the Lucys, against the enemies of the Lord Jesus. And keeping you up to speed and to warn you as best I can as what's coming down the road. Which the Lord Jesus has told you in the red letter editions. If you get one of those and read the red letters, you cannot go wrong with what Lord Jesus has to tell you. Directly. Not that other parts of the Bible aren't good. They are. But I like what Lord Jesus had to say because I follow him and have a direct relationship to him as my Savior. Because if you repent of your sins to Lord Jesus and ask him to come into your heart, you'll have everlasting life with him in heaven. And that is the best deal there is in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And if you backslid or if you've never had the opportunity, what do you got to lose but to give it a try? But you got to be sincere and you got to do it and ask him to come into your heart after you've repented. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to keep old Hawk in the air, and I hope you do. Anything is most needed and most welcome, believe me. Give me FRNs, you know, Federal Reserve notes, could be metals, silver dimes, silver dollar, small gold, whatever it is. Check or money order. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And may the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to sharpsaddles.com, sharpsaddles.com, they also have a brand new storefront in, I believe it's Joseph, Oregon, Wallowa County or whatever that name of that county is there. But just go to sharpsaddles.com and avail yourself of something high quality. They also will make excellent knives for you. They'll make holsters. They'll make saddlebags. Scabbards for a rifle, and those can be put on a horse or could be put on your ATV. You can get packs, canteens, all kind of good stuff out of there. Panniers, saddlebags, and first-class saddles. And incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, they are strong with the Lord Jesus, sharpsaddles.com. Now, what I was talking about here was the fact that we got the Gog-Magog War being formed up, and it also revolves around that dropping of the U.S. dollars for oil, the petrodollar, doesn't it? Well, when the stop starts moving and the, you know, what's getting ready to hit the fan, well, I told you on April 17th, 19th, they're having a hypersonic symposium in Alexandria, Virginia. Now here, U.S. is planning 5 hypersonic test programs in the Marshall Islands. U.S. Armed Forces are planning 5 test programs on hypersonic weapon systems in the Marshall Islands in the Central Pacific. Army and Space Missile Command Chief Lieutenant General James Dickinson said in congressional testimony on Wednesday. So there are currently 5 hypersonic test programs in various stages of planning at RTS, the Ronald Reagan Ballistic Missile Defense Test Site. The RTS is located at the U.S. Army Garrison on Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. Because of the geographic remoteness and the available complex sensor suite, RTS has seen a significant upswing in hypersonic systems and test plannings. Okay, so there we have hypersonic missiles, which I've told you they're going to do tests on them. But here's what somebody who has been, if you go between Kwajalein and Hawaii, there's something called, which we now know as Nell Atoll, which was not on the charts in the old days, but we've affectionately called it, or unaffectionately called it, the Isle of Dr. Moreau. And I've told you about how somebody who was the best NSA and naval radio operator in the world in 1969, he was on a ship in the middle of the Pacific, a spy ship, and they saw a diamond-shaped UFO that was real low in the sky and out only about a couple thousand yards or 1,000 yards. And they, because they had a good boat driver, the boat driver says put every gun on the doggone thing, battle stations, and they had it all locked and loaded against the UFO. Then the old UFO blinked and blinked out and took off lickety-split, you know, faster than you can say boo. And then, in reporting it per NSA protocol, and the NSA originally was developed for signal intelligence, but they were also developed to handle, under extreme secrecy, the UFO and the alien, the Roswell aliens and all of that, the Cape Girardeau crash disk in the early, 41, 42, I believe, in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And all of the different things up and down the line that became magic clearances and cosmic clearances and umbras, ultras, and, you know, the yellow fruit and all of the kind of stuff that some of you out there know about. But somebody who was then ordered via the radio to give it to the boat driver to take that boat to a coordinates in the middle of the Pacific to somewhere that wasn't on the chart. When they got there, there were men with different type of rifles that may have had lasers on them or something, laser type weapons, in white body armor that was very similar. Star Wars body armor could have been taken from that, and all white suits were in those days part of the Atomic Energy Commission. Because they used to wear all white so it wouldn't absorb radiation. And they were taken up, and most of the guys on the ship had to stay on the ship under guard. And the captain, the XO, and the radio man, they went up on the top of the little atoll there, and they were escorted into a blockhouse, which had a fast elevator down. Woo! Fast down underneath the seabed, okay? And open it up on 3-4 wide, football fields wide, 40, 50-foot ceilings, and maybe a mile or two long. And they get in there, and there's all kind of scientists. You got American scientists. You got guys with got German accents. Some of them are old types. And this is 1969, and they go in there, and there's about three or four different type of UFOs arrayed, whether they were reverse engineered. There was, of course, the silver kind of a disc. There was a diamond shape. There was a delta or triangular shape. There were different types. And they had ability to get those out with some sort of a large entrance into the seabed or from the seabed up into the sea with either a force field type of thing, combination with a opening pressurized window system, you see, like you would do in a sub when the divers, when the SEALs are up in the top of the sub and they get in the little thing and they equalize the pressure, then they open it to the ocean and get out of their vehicles. They're fast-moving little vehicles. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, that old boy told me, he says, why in the heck are they doing the hypersonic tests out there? Why don't we just use the technology that we already have, bring it to the fore, President Trump, order your people, order them, and then send a message to Lockheed Martin, to Northrop, to Grumman, to Martin Marietta, all the different parts, the Boeings and all of them, and say, you get all of that stuff, which we know you've got sublimated under your command. I'm ordering everybody to bring out the TR-3Bs, to bring out the anything bigger than that, the TR-4s, and there's a couple different sizes. You want to see hypersonic? You can see more than hypersonic, you can see speed of light once you get out in space and anti-grav when it's here. And zip, 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 boom, boom, it's over there, right angle turns, all kind of stuff. And inside of that, there's pulling very few G's because the crew is protected, like in a bubble, and sometimes even in a bubble of fluid or something, you see. Or with other a means of adjusting a gravitational inside there that keeps them from banging up against the wall. It's not like a fighter jet. That's why they can make the turns and go wild. Now, who had this technology before? You could ask Wernher von Braun, couldn't you? Because the Nazis in the Harz Mountains got on the track of a, you know, UFO that crashed, and they got involved in it early on. And then the repulsing engines and the different things that were miraculously came out of all of that. And then they developed flying saucers that probably went to the moon at the end of the 40s. The U.S. military had craft that were discoid shaped, but still had a like a spine of a bomber in it. They had various sizes, and they were pictured outside of Wright Pat and other different hangars. U.S. Air Force, and that would have been the 50s, not Army Air Corps, but U.S. Air Force. And then when you see the testimony of certain engineers from that era, they said, we had them that would go 15,000 miles an hour back then. So it's time, you see, if you're going to fight this war, to bring out the good stuff and go up against them and go up against them for real. But I just wanted to tell you that there is some stuff here. But now, before all of that happens, you can imagine that the Russians would love to just drop down and have maybe old Kim do it, you know? The Chinese, they could have Kim do it. Drop the EMP weapons on the United States and take the eagle out. Maybe they take out Great Britain, too, and knock out their power grid. And then if you look and see, the Chinese basically have deals with all of South America. The Russians have Venezuela, too. They got Cuba. They got all of that. They got the Chinese and Canada owning a lot. You got the British now floating free and without the EU, which is now under the Russian sphere, with their natural gas and oil, you see. the Middle East being taken over. You got Russia now probably moving into Libya and has control of Syria. And they're getting ready to go against Israel, just like the book. And then you got China eating into New Zealand and into Australia. And then they're making sure to disarm all the New Zealanders. They're already going house to house in some cases when they hear about it, because nobody's turned in their firearms after they had the MK Ultra subject. Now I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you about how much money and stuff is out there. If you go to Skolnick's report, Skolnick's report, Skolnick's report, and you can find it these days at www.apfn.org/Skolnick's report. But if you just do a Skolnick's report, you know, search, you'll find it. Once you get there, look for the story called Greenspan Reportedly Bribes and Aids Bush in Gold Swindles, Part 2. Greenspan Reportedly Bribes and Aids Bush in Gold Swindles, Part 2, by Sherman H. Skolnick. And he's talking about former President George Herbert Walker Bush and his three sons. And he talks about Federal Reserve wire transfers that are going and authorizing code by Alan Greenspan. And then he also has attachments of handwritten notes of a senior U.S. government official in the Office of Internal Affairs, Department of Treasury, and he has all of the lists of these transactions, okay? And he has the list, and he also has the bank accounts, allegedly the bank accounts of the Bush clan. And he gives, even in this, he gives, first of all, he does give on these things, an internal affairs authorization investigation number from the Treasury. He does that, and it's all in his own handwriting. And it's all very clear, and you can print them on out. You can look at them. And if you start looking at the account balances, you got first the remitter banks, allegedly Coots Bank, etc., Key Bank, Mid-Atlantic National Bank, Silverado Savings and Loan, etc., and then you have acceptances and all of this. But he lists the different bank accounts that list the cash amounts. And gives, by the way, the account number, apparently. Morgan Guaranty Trust, Chase Manhattan Bank, Green Midland, all those. But old Poppy Bush and clan, allegedly, when he totaled these up, was worth over $50 billion back in the late 80s. But it was all clandestine. A large amount of it was in Baku, there. Spanish bank. Don't go into their Luciferian knife out of pie. Understand the real game. Stand for Jesus. Stand for him. Mighty men and women about him. Use your high technology. You'll be strapped and close. And take the thing. I know you're going to turn the key. The time comes. You squeeze that trigger. Get out and prepare the weekend for this dump. More water purification, food, get this dump. Firearms if you don't want them.